You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
It's our prayer that the Lord would fall in this place. Hear the glory. Amen. I am so grateful to God for this opportunity to stand before you. And I do not take for granted this opportunity to say a word for the Lord. Amen. Amen. You'd be surprised how many preachers would love to stand here where I'm standing and to say a word for the Lord. Amen. So I'm grateful for this opportunity. I invite your attention to a passage of scripture you'll find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. And for the sake of its context, you need to read in your own time verses 1 through 9, but I want to read in your hearing verses 6 through 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 6, it reads, "And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." I want to talk about mercy in the vineyard. Mercy in the vineyard. The news of that day that was buzzing around Jerusalem was that some of the Jews from Galilee had came to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices in the temple. We don't know the circumstances behind it, but Pontius Pilate's soldiers murdered them there in the temple while they were offering sacrifices, and their blood was mingled with the sacrifices that they offered. They brought this news to Jesus, but Jesus, knowing all things, understood what they were doing. It seemed that they had jumped to the conclusion that these Jews of Galilee, these Galileans, were the worst sinners for this to happen in the Lord's house. It's one thing to be murdered by Pontius Pilate's soldiers, but to be murdered in the Lord's house. And so Jesus answered and said unto them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things?" He said, "I tell you no, or I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And then he brought up another news event. The Lord said that, "And those 18 people who the Tower of Siloam fell upon and slew them, do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So he said, before you jump to conclusion, look at yourself. Why are you trying to figure out why certain things happen? As a matter of fact, that was the problem that Job's friend had with Job. The Bible said Job was upright in all of his ways and shunned evil. And yet he had great calamity come upon him, where he lost not only his cattle and his wealth, but he lost his children, all in a day. And his friends came around him, and 7 days they didn't say nothing, they just sat there. That's a good thing, to be there when someone loses a loved one, to just sit around. But sometimes it's best to just shut up. See, if someone on the inside of us think we can fix everything, sometimes you need to let people mourn and just shut up. It's a good thing to be there. It's a good thing to let them talk. But sometimes you need to shut up. Well, when Job's friends finally got to talking, they started accusing him of some sin. Saying, Job, you must have did something wrong. All this to befall you. God's hand must be against you. And they got it all wrong. You got to read the whole book of Job, because God gave him double for his trouble. Amen. But people jump to conclusions like that. They do it all the time. People play God and pass judgment upon other people, not knowing all that God is doing. You see, nobody could look up into the throne room of God and see that Satan had come and accused Job. And God had a plan. He always does. So if we take that approach of every tragedy, we would think that God is indeed bringing his wickedness or his difficult times upon people. But God is not doing that necessarily. And so, and if that was the case, that a lot of you would wonder what had happened in the June of 2015. A 21-year-old white man by the name of Dylan Roof entered the press service of a black congregation in Emmanuel AME Church down in Charleston, South Carolina. And when Mr. Roof had left there, 9 people had been slaughtered and killed by his gun. In the Lord's house. Do you think that they were worse sinners than people in this house? That the 9 people killed, including the pastor, do you think that they were worse sinners than those that are here? Do you not know this could happen here? Could God have protected them? Oh, yes. God could have protected every last one of them. But on that day, the only thing mattered was if their souls were saved and with the Lord. The only thing that mattered. On this day, nothing is more important than making sure your soul is saved. Whether those 9 were saved, we don't know. But the idea is that you need to look at yourself. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, look in the mirror. What is your conclusion about 9/11? On tomorrow, they will be commemorating 9/11 again. They've done this ever since it happened in 2001. Every year, they talk about the responders and those first responders and the people who lost their lives during 9/11. And they'll have another celebration tomorrow about that and whatever they want to call it, a memorial in that cause. But what do you think? Were they worse sinners, all those people who died, than you? Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. So he said, look at yourself. Don't be so busy accusing other people and telling what God has done and what God is doing. You don't know. You see, the key to all calamities bears the warning, except ye repent, shall likewise perish. Disasters, calamities can happen to anyone. Being killed, we all shall die, for it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Especially in a time like right now when we're praying for our friends and our family and even strangers living in perilous times. Those because of fires are out of control in Washington State, in Montana, in California, in Oregon. There's flood waters in Texas, from Hurricane Harvey in Louisiana and other places. Rain keeps falling, and it's falling now. And it's now Hurricane Irma had hit Florida with Hurricane Jose right behind her. Climate change is a terrifying reality right now. But please don't you get too comfortable tonight in your bed. Amen. Comfortable in your bed with your family all around you, and in your bed, your loved ones. When you don't forget to pray for some people who don't have a bed. Some people are in shelters, will be sleeping on a cot if they can't sleep at all tonight, surrounded by people that they haven't even met yet, in a shelter trying to be protected from the storm. But there's another storm. And I'm not talking about Jose. There's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this old way. And if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. My prayer is that after the storm is over, people will understand that it could have been worse if they survived. And take hold to the hand of Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen. Circumstances can change your situation quickly, whether you're a sinner or a saint. Amen. Death is a common denominator, and death befalls all of us. Only repent. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Amen. So Jesus, after saying this to them, he takes time to give them this parable. He says there is a certain man, and he had a fig tree planted in the vineyard. Now, he didn't plant it. He had it planted. I mean, if you own the vineyard, you just give the order. And some people would say, well, that's unusual to put a fig tree in a vineyard where you're growing vines of grapes. He said, but it's my vineyard, my tree. I want some figs. No doubt somebody probably told him, well, you don't want to put a fig tree here because when it began to leave, it will throw shade upon the vine, and they need all the sunshine they can get to get ripe. But he said, but it's my vineyard. It's my fig tree. You see, the fig tree in this parable is really Israel, and God had planted Israel in a vineyard of Gentiles. And this is really the church in a vineyard of sinners. But God wanted it there. And it is his world. It's his church. He can put it where he want to put it. So he planted it. Now he planted it there, and he planted it there, and even though there might have been some controversy, it was his fig tree in his own vineyard, and he went about seeking to get fruit from it and found none. I mean, that was the purpose of him putting the fig tree in the vineyard, was it to produce fruit. You know, I like grapes, but I want some figs. I know you told me that it wasn't a good idea, but I planned it. And so he's talking to the dresser of the vineyard, which in this case is Jesus Christ. See, Jesus came after the Moses and the prophets came. Jesus came along to kind of dress up the garden and say, look, Lord, I've got to fix this. So Jesus came down here, and he's preaching to the people, giving them God's word. But you know what the book say. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so it was that he came looking for fruit. He said, these 3 years. Now, brothers and sisters, if you understand scripture, and you understand that according to Levitical law, the law that Moses had written, Leviticus 19, 23 and 25, you can look it up when you get time. You understand that when you get into the promised land and you plant trees, don't touch it for 3 years. Give it some time to take root. He said, and in the fourth year, when the crops come, they belong to the Lord. So even if you plant a tree, you can't get none of the figs until the fifth year, because God come before you. So he said, in these 3 years, that means it's already been planted 3 years, and 4 years have expired. He has come year number five, number six, and number seven. For 3 years he's been coming, and there has been no fruit. And he said, cut it down. I'm tired of waiting on it. Now, brothers and sisters, if God had planted you and saved your soul and changed you and made you whole, he could be talking to you. Instead of you looking at what's going on in Florida, you better look at your own life. And except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. I've been coming all this time, and I have nothing here, no to show for it. I didn't plant this tree to grow some lumber. I didn't plant this tree to grow leaves. Brothers and sisters, you'd be surprised how many shade tree Christians we got. We got some shady folk, amen, in the church. Some shady folk throwing shade at everybody. They can't see Jesus because of the shade you throwing, amen. We got some shady pastors, shady deacons. Yeah, I said shady deacons, amen. Yes, I did. I ain't taking it back neither. Shady preachers. Shady choir members, shady ushers. We got some shady folk in the church. Throwing shade every which way, and the Son of God can't shine upon them because of your shade. Amen, amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Unfruitful. Selfish. Want to be served rather than serving. Suck up everything like vacuum cleaners. Amen. Hey, sop up everything like a biscuit in gravy. I want to give y'all something to understand. Y'all understand that? Some SpongeBob SquarePants Christians. Nothing but a big old sponge soaking up all the goodness of God. And you got to squeeze that sponge to get anything out of it. That's why when I asked y'all, do we need to be giving something to American Red Cross? Y'all still didn't give a 50 cent. Some of y'all still didn't give but a dollar. It could happen to you. SpongeBob SquarePants Christians. You've come over here to work. This ain't no rest home Baptist church. What's wrong with y'all? And the worst thing you can tell me was how you did when you were at your other church. Like I care. But we did it like this. Well, how come you ain't back over there then? I wish, I'm going to let y'all finish that one. Amen. He wanted figs. Figs are the highest source of calcium and fiber. Amen. They're rich in fiber. As a matter of fact, they have copper, magnesium, potassium, calcium, vitamin K, and many antioxidants are in figs. Figs are necessary. It's a good fruit. Amen. And in a world that's constipated with sin, we need some. Amen. We need some fiber. Amen. We need the fiber of God's word for all these constipated folk in the world. Amen. We got shady folk, stingy folk, ungrateful folk in the church. And you were planted to be fruitful. Now, please understand. Fruitful, not fruity. Because a lot of folk just fruity. And that's all right to be fruity, but you need to be fruitful. Let me say, there's nine fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost produces this in the life of Christians that I find in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These are fruit. Fruitfulness is divine stand opposed to an empty, barren, and unproductive profession of religion. You ought to be fruitful. God didn't save you for nothing. He saved you to save other people. He wants you to be fruitful. And then if you're fruitful, you ought to bear some characteristics of that fruitfulness. Come on, Peter, tell them what you said in 2 Peter 1:5. Peter said, add faith to your virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love or charity. For if these things be in you, if you have these things and abound, they make sure that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the owner of the vineyard said, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why should it rob the grapes from the juices of the soil? Cut it down. It's thrown shade everywhere. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why the cumbereth it means why let it render it barren for the rest of it? Why make the ground sterile and sucking up all the juices? Why do that? Cut it down. Cut it down. But here's where the mercy came in. Jesus represents the mercy. He says, not yet. Give it one more year. Give it one more year. Don't cut it down yet. I know you've come this 7 years now, and it should be fruitful, but give it one more year. What I'm going to do, I'm going to dig around the roots, and I'm going to dung it. That's it. I'm going to dig it and dung it. Amen, amen. Dig it and dunk it until it becomes fruitful. At least give me 1 year to me to dig and to dunk. Brothers and sisters, you'd be surprised. God is digging and dunking some of y'all right now. He's been digging around your root system in order for you to be fruitful. Now, brothers and sisters, digging and dunking is not something to misunderstand, because you know what dung is, don't you? Let me make it explain. Dung is excrement of an animal. It's cow manure, horse manure, refuse from the stables to use to fertilize the land. It's waste. It's litter. It's number two. It's poop. It's doo-doo. Now you understand? Some of y'all wasn't getting it. Amen. It's used to make the soil fertile. Amen. He said, but you got to get down to the root. You see, if you don't get to the root, there'll be no fruit. Y'all remember that one, because that one rhymed. You know, y'all like rhyming stuff. Amen. That's what's wrong with a lot of us. You have not let the word of God get down to your root. Amen. Some of y'all are just surface Christians. You got on the surface, you come to church, you know how to dress up. Some of you do, some of you don't, but you still, you come to church and you come in here and you think you're all right, and you go back doing all the sin that you wouldn't do, that you stopped doing since Saturday. Amen. You have the leaves of religiosity, but you bear no fruit, because you have not allowed the word of God to get down to your root system to produce the fruit that's needed. You need your soil to be fertile. God will chastise us his own. Amen. That's what it said in Hebrews. Whom God loves, he chastises. Amen. God does that. He whips us to equip us. Amen. Listen, let me tell you what. It enriches the potential to produce. That's what fertilizer, that's what dung does. It gets your attention. It gets your attention. And that's what God is doing. See, a lot of people think, well, God is showing his anger. Yes, he is, but he's only trying to get everybody's attention with these storms and the fires and the floods and everything. He's trying to get people's attention to realize this ain't about Mother Nature, it's about me. I'm trying to let you know to get ready. Amen. See, getting your attention. You've had some tragic situations happen in your life that should have got your attention, and you didn't even realize it, but it was dung. Dung don't smell good. You don't want to step in dung. Amen. Let me tell you, dung could be that heart attack. It could be that stroke. It could be that lump that you found on your breast that the doctors say it could be cancerous. It could be a pink slip from your job. It could be a broken heart because someone has left you. It could be a shut-off notice from the gas company or the electric company. It could be a notice of divorce from a loved one. It could be anything that gets your attention and draws your attention. Instead of you looking down, you ought to be looking up. You should be saying, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Instead of me looking at everybody else, let me look at my own self and get my own self together with you, Father, because just going to church ain't getting it. I got to be more than this. I need to serve you. Amen. The digging and the dunging will produce some things out of our lives that we need to realize that perhaps God is trying to send me a message with all this digging and dunging that's going on. And somebody's in a storm right now. Somebody's going through some digging and dunging around the root system. And you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through, but God is saying, let me tell you something, you don't even have, you can be living a pretty good Christian life. But sometimes it's not all that you are doing, it's what you're not doing. God still wants your attention. You should be doing more than you are doing. You should have some joy in doing what you do. Now, if you don't have no joy in what you're doing, you might not be doing the right thing or doing it in the right way. You see, God is sovereign. That means he's supreme, absolute supreme. He knows what he's doing in your life. And these are not judgments, but these are warning signs that's coming up. Amen. So you have to understand that the Lord is getting ready to come back. Let me dig it and dung it. Let me try this out. And then after I dig around it and dung it, let's wait a year and see what happens. Now, what I love about this particular parable, it's open-ended. It doesn't tell you what happened after a year. It doesn't tell you that the fig tree began to produce figs. It didn't tell you that the digging and the dunging did anything at all. As a matter of fact, he doesn't tell us. As a matter of fact, he leaves it open because it ain't about the tree. It ain't about the vineyard. It's about you. He left it open to say, what have you done after God had done the digging and dunging around your life? What have you done except ye repent? And when I talk about repentance, I'm not talking about saying I'm sorry. Most of the time you've been sorry anyway. That's what's wrong with most of us. We're just sorry. You feel inadequate. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that you just show remorse. See, Judas Iscariot repented only to a sense of regret and remorse, and not in the sense of abandonment of sin. When you repent, you turn away from sin and turn to God. You love what God loves, you hate what God hates, you turn completely around and go the opposite way when you repent. I want to be like Jesus. Yeah, you have a changed mind. You ain't talking about turn over a new leaf, you turn over a new life when you repent. Yeah. You need a checkup from the neck up. It's about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we don't know what happened, but what happened to you? How do you look at this? Mercy showed up in the vineyard, and the Lord said, give it one more chance. Well, brothers and sisters, if you ever understand how delicate your soul is, you know that's what God sent his son to do, to give you a chance for the right of the tree of life. Jesus came into this world who had knew no sin, had never sinned, and yet he came to Calvary's cross to suffer, bleed, and die for all of us, that we who are in sin might accept him as personal Lord and Savior. I know you can't fix things, but the Lord can. All you have to do is give your life to him, because he came to die for you. He came to die for me. I told you before, my sin would have been enough to kill Jesus, But he came to die for my sin. Upon the cross of Calvary, they nailed his hands and nailed his feet. He suffered, bled, and died. They took him down from that cross and put him in a borrowed tomb. But according to God's word, early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. And that same Jesus is coming back, I tell you, because there's a storm out over the ocean moving this old way. And if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you'll surely drift away. Brothers and sisters, the most important thing you have right now in your life is not your car, not your house, not your clothes, not your children, not your husband, not your wife, but you got a soul, and that soul needs to be anchored in Jesus. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.